Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 124 of the Ron and Brian podcast. I am Ron, as always, joined by the man who also wakes up each and every morning smarter than he was the day before, Brian. Brian, how are you doing this evening, my friend?
Doing wonderful. It is a Thursday fall evening. The planets are aligned. My juju is back. And when I say juju, I mean the local Orthodox Jews.
Which we'll talk about, maybe not later, maybe we'll talk about that during the After Dark, which, as we often mention, you can join later by becoming a patron, joining us at our Patreon. Just go to rodandbrianpodcast.com, upper right-hand corner. Brian?
Many people have said, how can we help support this show? You have brought us hundreds of hours of quality entertainment. This is episode 124. We've shortened it down, Ron. In the beginning, what were we doing, like 3-4 hour episodes?
At least.
Yeah. Hundreds of hours of entertainment that we have just put out there. People have said, you've given to me, how can I repay you? And the way to do that is go to patreon.com / the Ron and Brian podcast. But that might be too much. Easier, just go to our website, Ron and Brian Podcast, click on the link in the upper right-hand corner, become a Patreon subscriber, gives you access to our after, you know what, most importantly, it helps build the show.
And we'll get Brian some additional help for the hand gestures.
Look at these amazing graphics. Look at this stuff. That is your Patreon money. That is your money that you have invested.
All right, Brian.
It's like planting a seed.
Let's
drink
of the week.
Nostrovia.
Salud.
Drink of the week. Slasher. Drink of the week. Drink of the week.
Ryan, drink of the week. We'll drink start with you week. As always. First, what did you bring to the table this week to drink?
I am rocking the official beer of the New York Yankees. That's right. It is New York Pinstripe Pils. Nice. From the fine people over at Blue Point Brewing. It's a 5% ABV. I would say that it's brewed with a generous amount of Pilsner malt. Then you've got we also sprinkle in a little Motueka hops. Overall, I would describe this as a bright golden Pilsner that has a crisp maltiness balanced with a thin layer of lime in the aroma from the hops.
Well, all right.
Not that I read that.
No, not that. Have a sip. Let me know how it is. Is that also why you are wearing your Yankees cap and jersey tonight?
Oh, am I?
Oh. What?
I'm wearing it yet. What?
The Bronx Bombers moving on to the divisional round to face Tampa Bay Rays.
We are not number one, but we could be.
We could be. We knocked off the higher seed already. We are ready.
That's a good Pilsner. Very crisp.
So, Brian, for not too quick, Kate is asking, do you brew, Brian?
Kate, I have been known to brew, but I have not brewed in a while. Not recently, but I would like to.
All right. So let's see here. Today, I went back to our good friends at Cheshire Brewing down the street from my house because they had a new beer alert, something called Chocolate Nut Porter. It is a decadent dessert beer, ringing in at a 6.6 ABV. Supposed to have Belgian chocolate, dark chocolate, and peanut butter. So let's take a sip here.
That looks full of flavor.
It's not bad. I'm getting the chocolate. I'm not really getting the peanut butter, but it's decent. It's drinkable.
How, on a scale of 1 to Reese's Pieces, how would you rank this beer?
I would give it Nutrageous, just really kind of in the middle, because I'm not getting as much peanut butter as I would have liked.
I respect that. I respect that a lot. Absolutely. Right. Well done. Well done. And we're just going to do beer this week, correct? We had agreed, no shots.
Not shots, you know, things okay. Tend to get a little ugly, as our listeners know, when we drink too much. Yes, I'm agreeing with Janelle. The Yuengling at Folks are coming out with their Hershey Porter again this year. One of my beer stores has already said they're going to have it in can and on tap. So I might need to make a drive out there. It's near my old house.
Would you be able to pick some up for me?
Possibly. We'll see. Yeah. I mean, you did bring some Yankees pills down to me. So
I did. I
need to return the favor. All right. Let's keep things rolling here with, as always, This Week in Racism.
This
week
in
racism.
Well, disgusting as always, Brian. We've got a few stories and a racism rewind, but we will start off with our new stories. Going out to Aurora, Colorado, a video released by the Aurora Police Department shows a former officer ignoring a Black woman's cries for help while she's handcuffed upside down in a police cruiser. The video was from the August 2019 arrest of Shatane Kelly by Officer Levi Hafeen. Hafeen had hobbled Kelly, which is the act of handcuffing a person's hands and feet together, and he tossed her in the back of the cruiser to take her to the police station. After Kelly rolled off the back seat of the cruiser, she started to cry for help. Hafeen ignored these pleas for the entire 20-minute car ride. While a chief's review board recommended that Hafeen receive only a 180-hour suspension, police chief Vanessa Wilson decided to fire him. Hafeen has appealed his termination and awaits the decision of a four-person civil service commission. There are the police going right now to commit some crimes. Going to Iowa, four people were charged in the strangulation death of a Black man whose body was found burning in a ditch near Kellogg, Iowa. Stephen Vogel, a 31-year-old white man, was arrested and charged with first-degree murder for the strangulation death of 44-year-old Michael Williams. Also arrested were Vogel's mother, Julia Cox, as well as Roy Garner and Cody Johnson. Those three were charged with destruction of evidence and accessory after the fact, while all four were charged with abuse of a corpse. I'm going to put the city name going down to Nacogdoches, Texas. An investigation is underway after armed campus security guards burst into a Black student's room with guns drawn. Kristen Evans, a 17-year-old student at Stephen F. Austin State University, had been accused by her three white roommates and at least seven other girls of trying to stab them with a pair of scissors, prompting a resident advisor to call the police. After reviewing the dorm security footage, police determined that Evans had been falsely accused by the women. Evans' family is asking for action to be taken against the students that filed the false report. In the meantime, University President Scott Gordon said that the matter is being taken seriously, but asked the public to withhold judgment until the investigation is complete. Brian, are you withholding judgment?
No, I'm pretty sure where I'm going to end up on this one.
Excellent. This one, I feel, definitely the worst story of the week. In Yulee, Florida. Shocking racism in Florida. That's going to be on the bingo card once we get it printed up. Oh, always Florida racism. Two homes in Florida had racist signs left outside of their homes by a Donald Trump supporter, including one at a 96-year-old woman's house criticizing Joe Biden. The signs read, quote, N-word lives don't fucking matter. Fuck commie Biden too. Black lives matter only when they're dead, and black on black crime is a beautiful thing. A woman in the neighborhood managed to see the car of the person who left the signs at the house, which police tracked back to suspect Richard Berry. Berry admitted to throwing the signs into the yard out of spite, but later regretted it and tried to go back and retrieve them, but they were already gone. Berry asked to apologize to the families, which the police advised against due to the high emotion involved. Barry has not been charged with any crimes, as the families just wanted to make the police aware of the situation. Brian, is that something you feel a simple apology just kind of covers?
I think this is a time for our nation to heal. I think it's time for us to be brought together. Divisiveness, separation of America, it's a terrible thing. I think now it's a time where we all need to stand up, be the larger person, because this is America. We have a lot of large people. And ultimately, I think that, in this case, an apology is fully warranted.
I'm not saying not warranted, but when you write such hateful signs, is an apology from an individual such like that, does it carry any weight?
if I were the police and this man asked me if he could apologize to the family, I would have told him to stand by.
Stand back, stand by. Now, before we finish up, we do have one racism rewind.
Racism rewind.
And last month, we reported on the Hall family of Michigan that have been the victims of three separate attacks on their property, all believed to be done by the same individual in response to their Black Lives Matter sign in their front yard. This past Tuesday, police arrested 24-year-old Michael Frederick Jr. for the attacks. Frederick has confessed and is facing 9 charges, including 3 counts of ethnic intimidation. But despite the confession, he has pled not guilty and is being held on $200,000 bond. So he is as white and inbred looking as you would picture him to be.
Can you put a photo up of him? Or
if I had a photo available, it would be up.
That's fine. That is a reasonable comeback. I'm all right with that.
I got my snake map ready to show later, Brian. So it's not photo time yet till we get to the snake map.
Do we have the copyright to show this the snake map? I'd like for those listeners who have a fond memory, it was only a couple weeks ago where our my 51% partner over here decided that it was okay to play. Put him on the glass, whip him on the glass. What was it by Sir Mix-a-Lot?
Let's just go to Beef of the Week.
Ron and Brian's Beef of the Week.
Brian, what's bothering you this week?
It's going to be sound petty as fuck.
Okay.
But I'm going to be petty as fuck.
Do it.
My local supermarkets have finally decided to enforce the no single-use plastic bags at checkout. This was a law that New York State passed.
That was a while back.
They passed it, and then it was supposed to go into effect in March. But then the Chinese flu came in. And this hoax of a pandemic took over, and New York agreed to put off the start date for this. So for the past 6 months, I have enjoyed collecting as many single-use plastic bags as I can every time I go shopping, you know, because not all of us have the ability to enjoy white privilege of ordering our groceries from Wegmans to be delivered. If you've never had their pizza, folks, definitely try the Wegmans Meat Lovers Pizza. Anyway, so I went to the supermarket this past week to pick up some groceries after work. They charged me 5 cents for a shitty paper bag that ripped as I was walking down the street, and I had to sit there and literally hold groceries in an awkward way. I was not happy.
Is there a way that you can somehow get maybe an organic tote bag, for example, that you could carry your groceries in?
Yes. I just have not been carrying one because I did not think we were enforcing that policy here in New York City. Lo and behold, apparently, Key Food and C-Town are now on board with the Save the Planet train.
All right. My beef, again, I'm going to say it's kind of petty also, but it is restaurants and stores that offer just a consistent discount on an item. So I'm going to give you an example here. We were at Hobby Lobby on Sunday. I know, I'm living the baller life. Which I have issues with Hobby Lobby to begin with because they're just uber, you know, Christian and whatnot. But that's yeah, like we go in there and we're like looking for Halloween stuff. They literally don't even carry Halloween stuff. They'll carry fall items, but they won't carry Halloween stuff because, you know, it is
evil spirits.
Evil spirits and whatnot. So anyway, we're looking at some of the furniture there. So it says furniture every day is 40% off. Well, then that's just the fucking price. Like, we have a sushi restaurant around here that's the same way. Sushi is always 50% off. Well, then that's just your fucking menu price. Like, that stuff just bothers the living hell out of me for some reason. Like, I'm sure there are people that are dumb enough to be like, "Yeah, I'm getting 40% off on this this Jesus chair. Pretty good deal." It's just the price. Just
do make they it. Sell a Jesus chair?
I'm sure they do. We weren't looking for anything like, but if you want some holy roller stuff, they've got it. Without
question. I don't even think there is a Hobby Lobby in New York.
No,
I don't think I've ever seen one.
Is it, you are the bastion of sin? They tend to not do like major cities. They do a lot of suburban areas.
That's where the religious folks are the still people that,
clutch their guns and religion hang out.
I am more likely to be able to find rainbow colored edible thong underwear than I am a Hobby Lobby.
And you would have more use of the thong underwear.
First off, I'd wear it, and then I would eat it. In that order.
All right. Well, Brian, we got that out of the way. But let's pat ourselves on the back. That's right. We got to review our NFL picks from last week and give you our locks of the upcoming week. Brian, talk
to me. Ron, no. First off, I have to congratulate you. This was week three. The first 2 weeks, you went 2-0 going into this week. I didn't think you had it in you to pull it out again. You went with the Seahawks -4.5 over the Cowboys. Cowboys, hold on. Did I read the wrong thing?
God. No, you read the right thing. I did. Seattle given 4.5.
Winning 38-31. Then you took the Bears. You said there was no reason the Bears at home getting points against the Falcons. Bears 30-26. Just proving once again that your locks are literally a padlock on a detention center immigrant cell.
Listen, it wasn't an easy week. The Cowboys had the ball with a couple minutes left to go, could have tied it up. And the Bears had to bench Mitch Trubisky and bring in Nick Foles to engineer a fourth quarter comeback. But it kept me at 2-0. And more importantly, you remain perfect as well. That Colts pick, I mean, they were favored by 11.5. They won by 29. I mean, that was a blowout. And then you knew the Raiders weren't quite ready for prime time just yet. They were getting 5.5 against the Patriots. Patriots win by 16. So
yeah,
kudos.
I knew it was going to take Cam Newton a couple weeks to get into form. Week three was where he did it.
So who do you have for this upcoming week?
This week I've got two literal locks. I think the Seahawks -6.5 against the lowly Miami Dolphins shoe in those 6.5 points. You'll be covered by halftime. Then this line, I think there's something wrong here, but I checked with Vegas. It is there, ready to bet. If you have access in your state to bet, go put all your money down. Steelers getting 33 points against the Jacksonville Jaguars. I don't even think that this is not even going to be a contest. The Steelers with Ben Roethlisberger, there's absolutely no way they're not going to cover 33 points.
I don't think that's an actual game taking place this weekend.
What?
The Steelers were supposed to play the Titans, and that game got postponed because of the COVID. You may want to check your numbers.
Okay, well, then I'm going to go with my third pick, which is the Cowboys -4.5 against the Cleveland Browns. Pat McAfee, the quarterback for the Browns, I don't think he's got it in him. I think he is a one-season wonder. Let's go with Dez Bryant and the Cowboys.
You're just throwing out names that you know, and I love it.
I really am. I have no idea.
So, Brian, when I made my picks last week, I said it's about respect. And the Bears.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T, thunder, what it means to me. Suck it to me, suck it to me, suck it to me, suck it to me, suck it to me.
The Bears continue to be disrespected by the odds makers in Las Vegas. They are home 3-0, taking on the Colts 2-1. Colts are favored. Bears are getting 2.5 points at home with Big Dick Nick being the starting quarterback next week. I'm taking that line all day long. And then San Francisco taking on Big Dick Nick's old team, the Philadelphia Eagles. Eagles flying out to the West Coast. Niners are giving 7 points. Eagles have looked horrendous, needed to scrap to just get a tie against the Bengals this past week. So I am loving the Niners minus 7. So lock it up, lock it in, stand by.
As somebody who's obsessed with big dicks, can you explain to me the origin of Big Dick Nick?
It has been rumored for many years during Nick Foles' career that he is a man of above average endowment, let's say. And as he was leading the Eagles to the Super Bowl a few years back, they had just won a game at the Link, and they were interviewing one of the Eagles fans live on TV, which why they do this for the local news still, I don't know. And the guy was drunk. I was like, listen, you know, Big Dick Nick's going to take us the entire way. And it was one of the more classic things next to someone eating horse shit in the streets when we won the Super Bowl. But
remember that
a classic Philly news experience.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
That's where it comes from.
All right. One day I would like to be Big Dick Brian.
Maybe so. Maybe we'll do that for you. I mean, you can always change your name here on the StreamYard where it says Brian. You could just, you know, fill that in one time. You want to
earn tried it. That. I tried that. And the thing that we learned is that as the 51% stakeholder in the podcast, Ron, you have the ability to change my name at any time you want. Very so cool. I realized there's no point of making any attempts to control that type of information. 49% sounds pretty impressive until you go up against 51 and realize you have no power.
That's right. The one thing obviously everyone was talking about this week, you know, it was
Ellen Reddy.
It was live. It was on TV. It was an embarrassment to the nation. A lot of people were saying, that's right. It was another week of Dancing with the Stars on Monday. And Brian, I know this may shock you, but that bitch, Carol Baskin, was eliminated. Finally, she was in the bottom two against, and the judges did not save her. So after 2 weeks, she is off the show.
Do we know who's left on the show?
I mean, what do we got?
They've only kicked off two people, correct?
Yeah, only Charles Oakley and Carol Baskin is off. So we've got Nelly. We've got AJ McClain. We've got Nev Schulman. We've got.
Are you sure that's not Neve? Neve Campbell?
I'm not gonna pronounce his name right. Anne Heist is still on there.
Really?
Yep.
She handled that divorce with Ellen with class.
She did. Were they married or were they just together?
At the time, the draconian laws of backwards California did not allow two women to marry. Thankfully now, love is love.
Yes. Love is. Well, we'll see. You know, we have a Supreme Court that's potentially leaning a little more conservative. So love may not be love if what's your name gets appointed, but we'll see. But yes, we joke about it a bit, but the train wreck of a presidential debate was on Tuesday night. As bad as everyone, I think, was prepared for it to be, I think it was 100 times worse. Ryan, what was your take on what you watched there?
It was painful to watch. It was similar to two young siblings fighting each other at the dinner table in front of a parent. And at the same time, I kind of feel like this is what we deserve, because I remember countless times over the past 30 years during, presidential election season, watching the debates, Reagan versus Mondale, Bush versus Draculius, where it was, who did Lloyd Benson go up against? Dan Quayle. Where they were so structured and there was so little back and forth that it really wasn't a debate. And I remember complaining about it. I remember complaining, hey, You know, they're not interacting with each other. They're not responding to each other. One of the moderators asks a question about unemployment, and the politician literally says, "I'm really glad you asked me that question." And that reminds me of a family that I recently spoke to in Ohio, and it was a mother and her two kids, and she was fighting for her Medicare. And they go off onto a different tangent. They never actually address the question and whatnot. And I remember always saying, wouldn't it just be great to just put the two presidential candidates in a room and let them actually talk for 90 minutes, actually like allow them to have a conversation and to just, you know, let there be some conflict. Let this not be such a sterile environment. And now I realize that this is what we were trying to avoid all those years. It was impossible for, I'd say, at least the first 30 minutes for one person to have the floor for more than 15 seconds without being interrupted.
Yeah, it was an absolute shit show, as they said on CNN afterwards. I mean, I think you got what you expected from Donald Trump. I think maybe he was even more over the top than normal.
He was, yeah.
You know, to Joe's credit, he didn't lose his temper too many times. You know, he did. I think what was smart on Joe's part was he kind of didn't even bother addressing Trump a number of times. He just spoke directly to the American people. And, you know, from what I've seen, you know, most people feel that Joe won the debate. I mean, if you're not named Donald Trump, you feel Joe won the debate. And what I always like to do is to flip over to Fox at the end of it and see how they're framing it, because that will usually tell you what they felt. And so, you know, they were like, "Oh, we feel this was kind of a draw." So if Fox News is calling it a draw, it basically means Trump lost.
The issue that I had with Trump was the fact that putting aside the factual inaccuracies of a lot of the things that he said, because you know that that's just who he operates in an environment where he'll say whatever he thinks will put him in the best light, regardless of whether it's true or not. I mean, the man is just a classic troll. But the part that bothered, it didn't really bother me, but like, it was just the fact of somebody would ask a question of Biden. When I say someone, we're talking Chris Wallace from Fox News, by the way.
Right.
And Trump literally would not even let Biden get 10 seconds. And he would just start throwing it. Like, obviously, whoever was prepping him, whatever a team that he had, they said, don't let Biden go long periods of time. Interrupt him. Get him off of his flow. Break up his ability to get out cohesive statements. Get him on the defensive. And unfortunately, I feel like it backfired, because it made Trump look like the junior high school bully. Now, I don't mind the adult bully in the presidential seat, but it was a very childish behavior.
Right.
I'd like to say behavior unbecoming of the office, but We've hit that wall a long time ago.
Status quo now. So, you know, Chris Wallace as moderator did take a lot of hits from people saying that, you know, he didn't really control the debate. But given the tools he had available, I mean, apart from going up and like trying to shove his underwear in Trump's mouth, like what could he have possibly done to keep things under control?
The only thing he could have done was literally stop the debate.
Right.
Just stopped it and said, and just said to both of the candidates, if the next person that interrupts this thing I will no longer ask them questions. Like, the idea is that you always have some level of power. You're never powerless. And it felt like Chris Wallace acted as if he was powerless. Like, all Chris Wallace had to say was, if you refuse to behave as, you know, as an adult here, then we're just going to sit here in a quiet room. I'm not going to ask you questions. I'm just going to end the debate. What would have happened? What would have happened?
Right. So now, you know, now they are saying for the next two debates, they're going to implement some additional rules. They are going to give the moderator the opportunity to shut off the mics of anyone that talks during
that period.
But again, you know, Trump's already said, I won the first debate so badly that they're trying to tilt it towards Sleepy Joe now. I won it. You ask everybody near me. I won that debate.
You've done a better Trump.
Have I?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. The Ukrainian call that you did, that was some great work. That was great work.
I don't do it enough to get in my groove that quickly.
That's what your wife said.
Hey-o. Hey-o. You're out of control.
Hey now. Keep going. It's just the thing that the takeaway for me, I should have realized that all the evidence was there, is that no matter what happens, there's no way that Trump is going to accept a loss,
right?
In the sense that if it is deemed on election night that he doesn't have the votes, he's going to claim that there's fraud. He will take it to the courts. If he has the lead, but the mail-in ballots get included and then Biden takes it, he's going to say that there's fraud. He's going to take it to the courts. Under no circumstances is this man going to accept in public that he has legitimately lost the election. And that just really concerns me, because as a country, we are not in a state to handle chaos.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at where we were, in 2000 when W went up against Al Gore. And once again, it went down to one state. There were hanging chads, and it went to the courts. There were recounts, all that kind of stuff. I was never worried that people were going to start shooting each other. I was not worried that there was going to be rioting. I feel like in the past 20 years, that's where we are now. There are people that are looking forward to chaos. They're looking forward to some level of anarchy so that they can go out there and hurt people of a differing agenda.
Set it up. I mean, he said, you know, he is encouraging people to go to the polls to make sure there's no funny business going on. But there are laws in each state as to who exactly can go be poll watchers. Like,
they have no authority. No authority.
You know, and he even said, you know, everyone needs to be prepared for anything to happen. And that was before he even told the Proud Boys to, you know, stand back and stand by.
He wouldn't denounce white supremacy.
No. And again, even Fox News.
Wait a second. Let me restate that. He flirted with an answer.
Right.
Like, he didn't actually say, I refuse. And this is where they'll be talking about this man for years. The effect this one person has had on this country and what the next 20 years, because upcoming politicians are watching him and learning and realizing that this works. But he flirts with an answer, doesn't unequivocally say one way or the other, so he can never be held accountable, in the sense that when the press are asking his press secretary, Kaylee McEnany, I know I was close, correct?
Very, very close. Closer than I thought you were going to get.
I'll take it. It's the fact that her answer is, oh, he's answered that so many times. He's answered it four times, three times. It's, you know, this is a ludicrous that we're still talking about it. But yet when you look at his words, he skirts around the issue so much that the people that he's talking about can actually feel validated, can feel supported. Yet he can also turn around and say, oh, I didn't show any support of them.
Right. And you know, they said, will you come out? He's like, sure, give me one. Give me one to disavow. And they were like, Proud Boys. Nah, I can't disavow them. Just stand back.
Stand by. Stand down.
what was also great today with the, you bring up Kaylee with her press conferences. So there was the statement made about all of these ballots that were found thrown away in a river somewhere. And so a reporter asked her, like, well, who are they and where is this river? She's like, well, I'll have to find the article and inbox it to you. He's like, well, then just, you know, the name of the river. Well, you're not focusing on the real problem, which is these ballots. He's like, I'm a reporter. So I like to have actual facts to give to people. Yeah. So that's why I just want to know who they are and the name of the river. And she couldn't name the river.
But I work with people. Yesterday, I was having a conversation with two coworkers, one of whom said that Trump is a very smart man, got incredible grades from some of the toughest schools in the country. Second comment was, I've got a coworker who genuinely believes that story.
Oh, I
source of
information, could believe it.
And it is such a sad, it's a sad statement that we've got people who are believing news that is perfectly slanted, both on the right and the left. Like the media is absolutely, the mainstream media is absolutely slanted towards the left.
Without question.
Fact. The alternative media is absolutely slanted towards the right. And the worst part is that as an American, the closest place to get unbiased news is to go overseas and see what the BBC is saying about it.
You need to look at Al Jazeera. You need to look at BBC. Like, those are where you're getting, you know, your more neutral news sources.
I remember 9/11, Ron. I'm not sure, you know, I don't know about you, but I am a New Yorker.
Okay.
So I'm a little sensitive when it comes to 9/11. So you bringing up Al Jazeera as a reputable source of news, little offensive to me.
Fair enough.
A little offensive. I mean, I know you're in Philadelphia. Nothing happened in Philly. I know that. I mean, bad things happened.
Bad things happened in Philadelphia.
What was he talking about?
Well, for A, I have no fucking clue what he's talking about. So apparently poll watchers were not allowed in somewhere in Philadelphia because they weren't official poll watchers. But Philadelphia is a city that embraces that shit. And I have already ordered one of the many bad things happen in Philadelphia t-shirts that were made available. This is one with Gritty's hand getting ready to throw a Molotov cocktail, because I really felt that really embodied what Philadelphia is.
You love Gritty. You are all about Gritty.
Everybody loves Gritty, but Philly really loves Gritty.
Philly, they have embraced. We've got Mr. Met. Like, the Yankees are too classy of an organization to have a. I think they tried back in the early '80s to have a mascot, and it was absolutely terrible and flittered out. But the Philadelphia Flyers come out with this. Looks like a rag doll, an orange rag doll of a mascot, and it literally becomes the biggest celebrity in that entire state.
And we talked about this before. When they first rolled out Gritty, everyone in Philadelphia hated Gritty, and then the country saw him and was like, oh, Gritty sucks. And then Philadelphia was like, well, fuck you, Gritty's ours, we roll with Gritty now. But the people that put together all the props and the acts and everything for Gritty, just top-notch.
Gritty is he's almost never seen like just being Gritty. Like, he's always doing something that's tied to the local metropolis.
So big question, obviously, after the debate, you know, there are not as many undecided voters in this country as there were in 2016. You know, could Trump move the needle at all? Most people agreed that his performance probably did not impress undecided voters out there. Polling of undecided voters show that they were then leaning more towards Biden. I've seen Biden leading anywhere from 7 to 13 points in the national polls. What I would like to do, Brian, if I may, can I break out the snake map, Brian? I've been dying.
If you're gonna break out the snake, I'm gonna put some chapstick on.
So I go to our friends at 538.com fairly often because they keep a track of all of the national polls, and they do what they call a snake poll. Let me get rid of our banner here because that'll make it a little easier for people to see.
Don't ever get rid of the banner.
So basically what the snake poll represents is, how many states are currently leaning in which direction and where their electoral votes are anticipated to go, with obviously 270 electoral votes being the number that someone needs to hit to become president. So if a state is deeper red, it is heavily Republican. If it's more of a pink, it's more of a toss-up. Same thing on the blue. If it's a dark blue, it's heavy Democrat, light blue. So you see that while Biden has currently, based on the polls, enough states to carry him over the 270 electoral vote line, there are definitely a number of states in there that, as we know from 2016, could go either way.
Easily. Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Florida, Ohio. These are all states that went to Trump. What is the ME2 between Florida and North Carolina?
So apparently Maine, this is Maine's second district, apparently awards their electoral vote separately. We also have that over here in Nebraska. They have a district that lets a vote go separately, which I'm not sure. But what we really want to focus on real quick is what they call the tipping point states, because you have a number of states that are really not going to impact the outcome of the election.
Like
New York is not going to impact the outcome of the election.
We're blue.
Right now, the
like state, my balls. Sorry.
The state that looks like is going to impact the election the most is Pennsylvania. Right now, Pennsylvania has a 31% chance of being the state that provides the tipping point. Because a number of electoral votes, leaning Democratic right now, obviously went to Trump last year. So it is concerning enough, apparently, that the Pennsylvania GOP, who controls the House and the Senate due to some pretty top-notch gerrymandering that they've done over the years, has now decided to create what they call an election integrity panel. With subpoena power that will be made up of 3 Republicans and 2 Democrats that will help oversee things on election day. Make sure there's no funny business.
As in, like, let's try to make sure that black people don't vote.
Well, there is that. Obviously there has been many activities by the Trump administration to limit the amount of voting in Pennsylvania. They have tried to stop the number of ballot drop box locations. They have tried to stop the number of, how early ballots could go out. Another big thing they have right now is, Pennsylvania, even though as long as it is your mail-in vote is postmarked by November 3rd, they will count votes up until November 9th. So the Trump administration is suing over that. And the Trump administration has consistently lost in the courts in the state of Pennsylvania, lost in the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, and has lost in the U.S. Supreme Court.
But it's not about whether they win or lose. It's the fact that they filed a suit so that they can claim that that's the justification for the belief in the fraud, is that we went to court. We went to court and the liberal Obama judge kicked us out. My question is, it's not even a question. It is just a consistent outrage on my part.
Okay.
We've got 2 political parties here. One is trying to get as many people to vote as possible. One is trying to get as few people to vote as possible.
Right.
What does that tell you about where this country stays? It's the fact that you've got one party that's like, the only way we can win is if we make sure that as few people vote as possible, and then we can win.
It is the maddening. Constant thing that, if you look at, and again, Democrats have tried to play the game. Democrats do some gerrymandering. They do some voter suppression, but nothing.
But they're not bloodthirsty. They don't play by the same rules. They're not bloodthirsty. They still believe in decorum. They still believe that they need to be on the moral high ground, which is why they keep consistently losing on a national level.
Now, what's interesting, if you look at Texas, now, again, Texas only has a 1.5% chance of tipping the election because it is typically gone Republican. But it is a light red. It is considered in play for this election. What the Texas governor did today was sign a law stating that for each county in Texas, they will now only have one drop box for ballots. So you have certain counties with anywhere from 1.5 to 4 million residents that now have one drop box if they choose not to mail their ballots back in. I know, Brian, you can beat your head against the wall if you'd like.
Oh, they're going to steal this election and get away with it.
Listen, they have a very good opportunity because, again, if you look at these tipping point states, that the top four are Pennsylvania, Florida, Wisconsin, and Michigan, all states that had been Democratic for a number of years or had been Democratic for the two Obama administration wins. There is nothing guaranteed. And even, you know, and 538 will even say, you know, in when they run the results 100 times, Joe Biden wins 80 out of 100, but Trump wins 20 out of 100. But they can't, in a poll situation, factor in the voter suppression. So do not go into election day thinking that this is anything less than a 50-50 shot.
There's no way we're going to have an answer at the end of election day. If Trump wins, the Democrats are going to cling to the mail-in vote. If the Democrats win, Trump goes to court. It's just plain and simple.
And as we've said before, you know, what we need to see on election day is a complete repudiation of Trump and the GOP. It needs to be such a heavy voter turnout, voting blue. You know, we have Republican senators that are in tight races. Susan Collins is currently trailing in Maine. You've got Lindsey Graham, depending on the poll, trailing Jamie Harrison.
Vote him out.
You know, forget the woman's name in Arizona, but Mark Kelly is leading her right now. Joni Ernst, even Ted Cruz, depending on the poll, you know, his numbers are not great.
First off, his father killed JFK and his wife is ugly. That man has no business in the Senate.
Did you see him on Chris Cuomo on CNN the other night?
I don't click on clickbait, Ron.
But, you know, they got in the argument and Cuomo basically tried to get him to say, like, you know, why are you constantly? And he even brought up, he's like, he called your wife ugly.
Yeah.
And Cruz just won't even. He's such a lapdog for Trump.
What did he say to that?
But he's like, now you're throwing insults out. No, we're throwing insults out that the president made about your wife.
You're stating a fact. Trump threw the insult out. But this is the problem. It's the fact that the entire Republican Party has become a lapdog to this man. I've never in my lifetime seen a cult of personality within politics. I mean, I thought people loved Reagan back in the day, but it's nothing like this. It saddens me so much that he was right. He was so fucking right in 2016 where he said, I could go out on Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody and nobody would care.
Right.
My followers would not care. He's completely right. He's killed 200,000 Americans. All right. That's it's not all his responsibility, but like he literally has been responsible for the death of 100,000. We'll call it, where had we properly responded. It's just so fucking maddening. What else do we got going on? Can we go back to the snake bite?
You want to go back to the snake map?
Let's go back to the snake bite, Ron.
What do you want to look
now? I don't want to look at the tipping. Let's go to the other one.
The other ones, the non-tipping or the regular one?
I want to look at the full. So we're looking at, what are those states?
So, I mean, if you look at the heavily red, I mean, you've got Nebraska's third district. You've got Wyoming,
West Virginia,
Idaho, Oklahoma, North Dakota, Kentucky, South Dakota, obviously, Nebraska, Alabama, you know, the usuals, Utah, Tennessee, Indiana. So there, but even still, I mean, the fact that you've got Georgia within a margin of error, Iowa within margin of error, Texas within margin of error, that's big. And you do have some states, you know, that are, you know, leaning a little bit more. You've got Minnesota looking more and more like it's definitely
right.
Ida, New Hampshire. Michigan is a big one. I mean, this, you know,
that would be huge.
Michigan is, you know, is about a 7.5 point difference.
And that state's gone red the last few elections.
Right. So, you know, you definitely have some states here where we have some ability to make some gains from 2016. And then, you know, right now the Democrats are also favored to take back the Senate. So, you know, if I don't
get my hopes up on that one.
You listen, you never get your hopes up.
Yeah, I take it one step at a time.
So question for you. Next Wednesday night, we have the vice presidential debate. Will you be watching?
Of course. Yeah. It depends. What is the Yankee score?
I haven't seen if that's going to be a game that night or not. So we'll have to see.
I believe the Yankees series starts on Monday and goes all the way through.
Well, have two games and a rest day. So Wednesday.
I don't believe they're doing rest days. I don't think they're doing rest days. I could be wrong. I don't know. But did you see that baseball, they're allowing fans?
Are they?
During, I think, the league championships and the World Series, they're going to allow like 11,000 fans, which basically is one every four seats.
All right. Not too bad. But I mean, I think it will be more of a classic debate than we saw this past week. But I really think Kamala is just going to destroy Mike Pence. And I will watch just for that.
I think that she's going to have a far greater number of one-liners.
Yes, without a doubt. She'll be better prepped, I think.
Well, he's so stiff. He's so stiff as a board. Who was Hillary's vice president?
Tim Kaine.
Yeah. And that was a bad move on her
part. One of the most boring debates ever. Tim Kaine against Mike Pence. That was a snooze fest.
I like white bread. I like white bread too.
Oh, the other thing I forgot was, and again, this is how much freaking news comes in the past week, but New York Times released Donald Trump's personal tax returns, which was
huge, big,
apparently he didn't pay taxes most times and only had to pay like $750 in a year since he became president. So that's some good accounting right there.
Well, that just shows you what a brilliant businessman he is, that he can, while amassing wealth, while accumulating prime real estate properties, millions and millions and hundreds of millions. He's a billionaire. At the same time, avoiding taxes. That is just the business acumen that this man brings to the table.
Well, in the spirit of transparency, we here at the Ron and Brian podcast have decided to release our podcast tax returns. We are not releasing our individual tax returns because they are far too complicated for laymen and laywomen to really understand. Way too complicated.
Ron, I don't understand your tax return. You wouldn't understand mine. It's so complicated. Apparently, I'm being audited for my taxes from 1999. Therefore, I'm not allowed to show any of my tax returns until that audit comes up. But I do believe this podcast has only been around for 2 years. And I think that people, you know, especially our Patreons, the people that subscribe, you know, at the bronze, aluminum, silver level, the diamond, the platinum.
Well, if you remember, the actual documents will be available via your access to the Ron and Brian Dropbox, which you only get at the $100 sponsorship or higher. Folks will be able to get it, but let's just hit on some of these points here. I mean, I think a lot of this is really boilerplate type stuff. We deducted $70,000 for pubic hair styling for both you and I. I think completely reasonable. A fun fact about Brian is he will usually shave his pubic hair into a theme of what he's doing on the podcast. So you actually had your pubic hair shaved into a forklift loading into a refrigerated truck for like a month, if I remember.
Yes, it actually was the forklift holding, there were two bodies dangling off of it. The entire month of April and going into May. Currently, if you want to know the shape of my pubic hair, it is the NY Yankees logo.
Nice.
And that's expensive. I don't have the artistry skills to do that myself. No. You know, therefore, we need to bring in the experts.
I am not familiar with the Rosewood Theater, Brian. Can you tell me what that deduction was?
I spent $900 there. I was an entertainment club.
Okay.
I would say I went there because I was doing a piece for the podcast on the empowerment of women via dance. It was
very progressive.
We ended up not doing the bit, which I feel bad for, because I did spend an evening taking really strong notes. Visual is made me put my pen away. A lot of visual notes were taken at the Rosewood Theater, and it was a contribution of $900 that night.
All right. Now, this was an interesting deduction. I'm surprised we got this through. $5,000 for fleshlight repair and maintenance. Now, I am not going to tell you how to spend your 49% of this podcast. I would not do that. But it would seem for much less than the amount that you spent on repair and maintenance, you could just buy new fleshlights when you need them.
Okay. Now, the problem that I'm going to have with that approach, Ron, is that you're recommending a lifestyle that I cannot subscribe to, which is this American consumerism, buy, throw out, buy again, just this never ending purchase.
That's a fair
statement. Back in the day when America was great, in the 1950s, you would buy an appliance, you would use that appliance, and when the appliance broke down, you would bring it to a repair person. His name was Gus. He wore a white t-shirt with suspenders, always had some dirt under his fingernails, but he always knew who you were, and he would fix your appliance, whether it be a toaster oven, your refrigerator, the Thai boy that you recently had brought in overseas, vacuum cleaner. Well, nowadays it's a fleshlight that I decided I did not want to throw out. I'd grown attached to it.
Understood.
A couple times.
Billy has two great questions, as he often does each and every week. Was Brian's titanium taint deductible? Surprisingly, covered by the Affordable Care Act.
Thank you, Obama.
And how does Ron's employment situation impact the show's tax return? It affects my individual tax return, which, as we have mentioned, is very, very complicated, and we don't have the time here to explain. The tax return for the show, I may take more from the podcast. I'm usually giving a lot into the podcast. I may take more, and that might be reflected on this. Like, for example, I spent $18,000 this past year on crystals to help balance my chakra. And again, might seem excessive, but I feel my chakra needs to be balanced in 2020 than it did in 2019.
Silence.
Stillness.
But you would say that was a good investment, right?
I would say so.
It has brought you peace.
Unlike the $50,000 we paid to Brad Parscale to get us one of those Joe Rogan size deals with Spotify, when I saw Brad getting taken down by the Florida police this past week, I knew our money had kind of gone to the shitter.
I thought that was a wise investment. He was going to bring us big data. Big data was finally going to come to the world of podcasting. It was going to be, we would then suddenly be able to target millions of podcasting listeners throughout this country.
It was revolutionary.
I'm not sure that he spent our money wisely. No. I mean, we never actually saw the finished product.
Again, if you are at the $100 level or higher, we give you access to the Ron and Brian Dropbox so you can actually see those tax returns. But again, I feel comfortable with people seeing that information.
Now, are we showing them the final page of the tax return, or are we putting it all in the Dropbox?
All in the Dropbox. Everything's in the Dropbox. It's all about Dropbox these days, Brian.
It's about transparency here. We have nothing to hide. We want you to know that all of your tax dollars that you are deciding to post-tax dollars, to be pre-tax dollars. But the post-tax dollars that you are contributing towards our podcast in the form of becoming a Patreon subscriber, deciding that you want every week the 30, 45, 60 minutes of after dark content, that's where it's going. That's where we're spending it.
Yep.
Crystals, female dancers, fleshlights, pubic hair. Any other areas we want to talk about, or is it?
I think those are the big four. Yeah, when we did our business plan for the podcast, those are the big four we highlighted.
Yes. Also, I'd like to say that back in March, when the pandemic took off, I did spend a little bit of money, small, insignificant, $100,000, purchasing N95 masks from Bangladesh. I found a vendor who said they were going to rush it over here. I thought that I would personally be able to save New York City from this pandemic. I thought that, you know, I would be able to protect my fellow New Yorkers. Ultimately, never received the N95 masks.
Damn shame.
But listen, I tried. I tried to save the city.
Did what you could.
A lot of people say New York City is dead. Well, I did everything I could to keep it alive.
Big question for you, Brian.
Ron,
what are you watching?
South Park. South Park is back with a special 1 hour pandemic special on Comedy Central yesterday. Probably the first original thing on Comedy Central in the past 9 months. They literally have given up on any type of new programming.
Well, they do new infomercials. That's about all that's new on their channel these days.
Terrible. It's all just repeats of shit. But South Park, pandemic special, literally in 1 hour, and I think it was like 1 hour and 4 minutes or whatnot, literally brought back everything that's happened in this country since this pandemic started. The Chinese flu, Black Lives Matter, police shootings, defund the police, schools, Donald Trump, mask wearers, social distancing, Zoom calls. They're even able to sneak in the chaos of a mass Zoom call. It was a fun hour, obviously minus the commercials. Now, you watched it too, correct?
I watched it before the podcast just to make sure we both had the same experience. I mean, it was funny and it was also depressing because they nailed everything
on this
so well.
Yes.
That it really reminded you of what a shitstorm we are currently living through.
Yeah. It was basically like what, you know, those year-end review shows that you watch in December where it's just like, hey, remember this fun thing that took place in February? Well, now you can remember it. Right. This literally was 1 hour of this is how fucked this country has been over the past 6 months. And now we're almost 7 months into this.
Yep. So I have a couple things I'm going to bring to you this week. First off, and I know I've been sleeping on this because I think they're five seasons in, but Schitt's Creek, the comedy show with Catherine Hara, Eugene Levy, Dan Levy, Chris Elliott, won, I think, every Emmy this year. Finally started watching it on Hulu or Netflix. One or the other. One of those things.
Hulu, not Netflix.
Laugh out loud funny at times. Like, there are very few shows. And again, I don't know why I didn't watch it before, because, I mean, just Eugene Levy and Catherine O'Hara, just from the SCTV days and everything else. But
you said you're homophobic. You said, like, the main the son on the show is an out homosexual, and you said that you won't watch that stuff.
I don't recall saying that. But we've gotten through, I think, most of the first season. And again, there are moments that I literally just laugh out loud.
I thought that it was an amazing first season. I thought it was very clever. The premise of this Beverly Hills, California family that loses their wealth and ends up in like Yahoo, wherever. Chris Elliott, I think, is great on the show.
I feel like
that show kind of lost its its way when the culture where
No spoilers.
But it turns out that the son's not gay.
Well, we've never had that conversation. I haven't seen anything in the season one.
That season three, episode two, right. Son finally goes to conversion therapy. It's kind of like the arc of season two is that the son goes into conversion therapy, comes out, meets a very beautiful Pakistani woman who is working in the, and I'm not spoiling anything for you, who works in the local flower shop. I believe she's played by Gwyneth Paltrow. Just they put some bronzer on her.
Oh, okay.
So you know it's Gwyneth Paltrow, but you know they say she's from Pakistan, which by the way is a very modern country. I don't know if you know that. Very hip, very modern Pakistan. So he comes out of season two declaring that he's straight. Season three literally becomes an oath taker, proud boy, 3%er, takes up guns, does army training. Okay. Eugene,
I feel your line now. Now I feel you're stretching the truth. So I will be watching it. I recommend if you're not watching it to check it out. And another new show that I got hooked on this week on Amazon Prime called Utopia. It is.
I've heard about that.
It is. So I don't want to ruin too much, but the basic premise is that there is a comic book that is basically, it seems, predicting the major viral disasters of our country, SARS, swine flu, things really? Like that. And so realistic that they actually put when they were filming it, obviously they weren't aware of what was going to happen with COVID-19. So they actually put like a disclaimer at the beginning, like this is not in relation to any pandemic or anything else. Great cast. Whatchamacallit, John Cusack, Rainn Wilson, a bunch of other people that you'd be like, oh yeah, I know that person from such and such. It's this 8-episode first season. We got through 6 episodes in the last few days. Just really, I mean, it's out there. It's definitely different than a lot of what's out there. And they're very good at hitting you with something you don't expect. Okay. So like, again, I don't want to ruin it, but there's been so many times where like they hit you with something and end an episode and you're like, what the fuck just happened there?
All right.
So I'm giving my thumbs up of the week to Utopia on Amazon Prime.
Excellent. Would you like to hear what I'm watching?
I mean, I've been waiting.
You know, for me, TV is just it's the system's way to turn your brain into mush. I've been reading, Ron. I've been expanding my brain. I decided that I was going to turn off the boob tube, and I was going to open a book. Remember what books were? These things made out of paper that you would lick your finger and turn the page. So, I plugged my iPad into my computer. I downloaded a couple books, put them on my iPad. I've been flicking over on. I just finished Rage by Bob Woodward, his second book on the Trump presidency. This one features, I believe, he did 18 interviews with Donald Trump. The first book that he put out, he interviewed people within the White House, many of it who were did not want their quotes to be attributed to them. Here, he was able to get access. He has basically written on every, I think he has written biographies on at least a quarter of all the presidencies. Like he's been around that long.
Right.
Nixon, Ford, Carter, Reagan, Bush, Gore, Bush, Obama,
Trump.
Point is just finish the book. Great read. It does provide what I have not heard anything is that the quotes he's attributed to Trump are lies. Yeah, I've not seen that. Not
denied anything.
Nobody has come out and said, oh, this that he was misquoted. That's a lie. But it really does give you a window into the way Trump thinks. Which is he genuinely views himself or the report card of how he's doing as the economy. If the economy is doing well, that he's doing a great job as presidency, and he uses the stock market as his bellwether.
Oh yeah.
So if stocks are up, he's being a great president. Well, and then as
the market, Brian,
what?
Everyone's in the stock market. That's what Trump said.
Everybody. I mean, everybody. You're going to lose your 401k if Biden gets elected.
That's right.
You're going to lose it. But the thing that and what I find fascinating is that these interviews are taking place during the onset of coronavirus and the pandemic. So you are literally seeing Trump's, oh, I don't think this is going to be big. Oh, actually, it's pretty nasty. This is pretty rough all the way through. And what you see is the fact that he admits he played it down in the beginning because he didn't want people to panic. And then it becomes angry attacks at China for not being more forthcoming in the beginning, which I think is a valid complaint. I think that at the end of this, we are going to have to look back and see what the fuck China did to this world, because they did have this contained in their country. And one of the things that I read in the book and did some research, and it's actually true, is that they shut down travel from Wuhan to other areas of China, but allowed international flights out of Wuhan.
Well, that's not good.
Well, that's kind of, you know, I'm not going to say it's the only way it got out of China, but while there was literally a physical embargo around the city of Wuhan, which was, if you're in Wuhan, you can't go to Shanghai. If you're in Wuhan, you can fly directly to Berlin. You can fly to Rome. And then we see how it has now spread. But so it's anger against the Chinese, and also a just refusal to acknowledge the now versus dwelling on the past of, before this flu came around, we had the best economy ever going on.
So many jobs.
It was the beautiful economy, which is just like, that was then, but you're living now. What are you doing now? And it's just this refusal to accept responsibility for ownership of the moment, rather than just kind of looking backwards towards the better days. But his whole platform was make America great again. He's always been looking to the back.
Listen, his platform still is make America great again, 4 years after he said he was going to make America great again. We still have to get to greatness, Brian.
Well, if you don't reelect him president, you know, all the protests in the streets are going to continue.
Listen, the only way we can fix the last 4 years is to rehire the man who was responsible for the last 4 years.
That's it. Makes total sense to me. Total sense to me. Next week, I am going to fill out my New York State absentee ballot.
Nice.
So I'm going to do some research and see who I would like to vote for president, as well as some of the local New York races. Ron, have you requested an absentee ballot, or are you going to vote in person?
Nope, I have requested it. I am told that it will be here on October 5th. I have located where our ballot drop box will be close by. So I will not be relying on the postal service. I will be going to the ballot drop box to drop off our votes.
Now, seeing as you are underemployed right now, have you thought about volunteering for the Ron and Brian podcast nationwide poll watchers, where you stand at the drop boxes and make sure that there's no funny business going on?
I'm being a little bit more proactive than that. And I spend my evenings going to various neighbors' houses in the community. And I just kind of, I look in their living room windows and I see kind of what they're watching, what they're wearing, what they're doing, just to kind of get an angle to make sure that there's no funny business going on. Because if you can prevent the funny business in the homes, then the funny business will never make it to the ballot box or to the voting box.
Now, I have a question. As you are looking into these living rooms, are your pants by your waist or are they by your ankles?
Listen, I may or may not be masturbating furiously while I do this, but I feel you are trying to deflect from the true issue at hand, and that is stop the funny business.
But then you wonder why we spent $5,000 in fleshlight repairs. It may not all be me. It may not all be me.
Anything else this week, Brian, or do you want to get ready for After Dark? After Dark.
I want to get ready for football. I'm going to answer two questions that the internet has for you.
All right. Let's make it quick.
They are quick. Would you give up appetizers or desserts if you had to give up one?
If I had to give up one, I would probably give up appetizers.
Really?
Yeah. I've had more better desserts in my life than I've had.
More better desserts.
Mo better. Not,
mo better. So you're saying, what is your favorite dessert?
What is my favorite dessert? I mean, I don't know that I could come up with a favorite, but well, I would say creme brulee. If you have creme brulee on a menu, odds are I'm going to buy it.
I like it. If you had the power to erase one movie from existence, what would it be and why?
What was that Jeremy Irons movie that we saw in the movie theater in Albany? I can't remember.
Is that the one where he put the
beating myself? Can't remember.
Oh, that's the one where he killed where his son dies.
Yeah.
Ooh,
I can't remember the name of it, but that was an absolutely horrible movie. I would probably get rid of that one.
Well done. Well done. All right. It is now, I think, an hour and 15 minutes. I think we've more than fulfilled our obligation.
Yes.
If you are listening live, if you are watching live and you are a Patreon subscriber, I want you right now, as soon as we end this show, go to your email, check if you are a aluminum or bronze, which is it, bronze and then aluminum? No, it's aluminum and then bronze. If you are at the bronze or higher level, meaning you are spending $10 or more, you should have received an email from Patreon earlier today. It has a link. You are going to be joining. Click that link. You will be. It will go to directly to the live feed of our After Dark. You are going to be joining us. Normally, After Dark, it's just Ron. It's myself. No, this week it's going to be you. Join us on After Dark over on our Patreon. Go there, click the link, join us. We're going to be talking about some kind of weird stuff that's taking place. Absolutely no references to Ron's unemployment, my inability to spend less than $900 at strip clubs, and we may make reference to Mac Davis, country singer, passing away.
There you go. All right, everybody. If you're a patron, we'll see you on After Dark. If you are not, thank you for joining us. We will see you next week. As always, subscribe, rate, review.